Civil War has been on folks' mind. You know, Sesqua is 150th. Is that Sesqua Centennial? I always remember if that's the right version.
150?
150. Or
I don't
Civil
know.
War, a lot of books.
I'd
people,
go 150.
New books coming out about it or taking a look at different parts of the Civil War. Well, there's a little bit of a twist to share with you this morning. We have with us author Charles McNair, who's written a novel called Pickett's Charge. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning, Bruce, and good morning, Craig. Happy to be aboard.
So,
hello, EOL.
We appreciate you joining us this morning to talk about this novel, which kind of talks about the final battle of the Civil War, though it seems to have been fought 100 years later. Talk about the setup and the idea for a book like this.
Well, thank you. This is the story of an old man named Threadbill Pickett, who is the last Confederate. He was he suffered a disfigurement in the Civil War as a teen, and something else terrible happened. And he has nursed a great vengeance for 100 years. One morning, he's in a nursing home in Mobile, Alabama in 1964, and he finds out, guess what? Just one Yankee is still alive. And so Threadbill Pickett leaves the nursing home to go north and fight in the last battle of the Civil War.
How does a 114-year-old gentleman gather the courage and stamina to take on such an adventure?
Well, you see, Mr. Pickett is a very mean man. He has nursed a great vengeance and great bitterness for a long, long time, and it has kept him ready for prime time, if you will. Now, consider this: it's a tall tale, and it's my effort to explain why the South is the way it is. Threadgill is symbolic of a place that was disfigured and ruined by war. The city I live in, Atlanta, Georgia, burned to the ground by an Ohio William Tecumseh Sherman. And so this is my effort to explain why people nursed bitterness and held a long grudge against things and why the South is the way it is, why we have unsolved issues and so many years after this war.
Now, you set this sort of in 1964, which had another civil war of sorts going on in our country. Obviously, that was to kind of play upon the two backdrops, I suppose.
You know, the original Civil War in the 1860s was fought, among many other complicated reasons, to resolve the issue of slavery. And it seems to me that the issues of race are still everywhere around us all the time. Those are unsolved. In 1964 was really the time when for black people, there was the Civil War. The white Civil War was the 1860s. In the 1960s, another kind of Civil War, Civil Rights War, was waged. And this is, as Threadbill Pickett, my old man, goes north, he has to run into the civil rights movement, the women's rights movement, the issues of Islam, the space race in the 1960s, many things that he has never considered in his life. And as he has to consider these new developments and new issues that are in the world, it begins to change. And the big question here is he redeemed in the game? Does he forgive and forget and move on, or does he nurse the great vengeance to the very bitter end?
Does some of those feelings and maybe both of those kind of sentiments, you find that in the South these days as well?
The South is, you know, I grew up in Alabama, and when I was born and raised in the 1950s and 60s, you could still smell powder in the air from the Civil War. There's the line of the song, "Dixie, old times there are not forgotten." That has so literally been true. And I think that deep sense of a sense of loss, being a defeated nation, a sense of persecution sometimes, has led to things that were very unhappy about our past. The bombing of churches with little girls in them. Atrocities committed on people for their political or other kinds of or ethnicity persuasion. And so my book tries to make sense of this and tries to present a case for forgiving and forgetting and moving on. A lot of the South is like that. Atlanta is a place that I think emblemizes a South that has come to terms in large part with its past and moved forward in the world. But there are lots of places where that is not so. Although the South continues to change and grow, and it's much better for more people than it was even 50 years ago.
Charles, do you think people in the North will look at the book a little differently than those in the South, or do you think people will look at it pretty much the same way?
You know, In my life, I was lucky enough to meet Shelby Foote, the great historian, and the subject, one of the premier subjects of Ken Burns' special on the Civil War. Shelby Foote came to a writer's conference that I attended once, and he was asked a question from the audience by a young man from Pennsylvania. And that fellow said, you know, I grew up in the North. We never hear about the Civil War. We never talk about the Civil War. And I come to Birmingham, and it's all I ever hear. It claims here. Why is that? And Shelby Foote scratched his chin and thought for a moment, and he said, you know, when I was growing up in Greenville, Mississippi, I had a number of playground fights. I can't remember anything about the fight that I won, but I can tell you every detail of every fight I lost. And I think that there's something true that about the South. You know, I live in a city that was burned to the ground. There is a city, Columbia, South Carolina, that was burned to the ground. It was ground, and Sherman assaulted the earth there, if he did it, I think. And in that place, the Confederate flag still flies over the Capitol building. It is different. We live in a place that only two lifetimes was a defeated nation. And so, sure, you guys see that war from a totally different point of view. You know, you wrote the history books and moved on. And the South, those history books, they reconstruction by many years. Well, when I was born, 100 years after the war, we were still in reconstruction in my part of Alabama. And so the memories, you know, the hurt goes deep. And right or wrong, who have held on to grudges and beliefs in a lost cause and all kinds of things like that. And this charge tries to explain and unravel the complication that is the South.
The book is called Pickett's Charge. It's the story of the oldest living Confederate veteran determined to kill the oldest living Union soldier and the things he confronts along the way. And we enjoyed the chat this morning. I wish we had a little bit better connection. We had a little bit of phone issues with you this morning, Charles, but we appreciate your time. If people are interested in getting a hold of this book and reading this novel, where's a good place for them to start?
Well, go to bookstores, of course. You can always order through Amazon, and I'm a huge fan of the independent bookstore. If there's a good indie there in the Cleveland area, go there, support that little community. That would make me happy as a writer.
Give me a little bit of a history. I look at the cover, and you've got the yellow bird. What's the significance of that, and how does that fit into your story?
When soldiers from Alabama, which is where Gregory Pickett is from, when they signed up to go off fight in the Civil War, they distinguished themselves by taking the feather of a yellowhammer woodpecker and putting it in the bands of hats. And Alabama to this day is known as the Yellowhammer State. And you hear there's a cheer at halftime of the Alabama football game, the Crimson Tide game, that goes this way. Rammer, jammer, yellowhammer. Give them hell, Alabama. And so that little simple yellow feather signifies much if you know your history and especially your war history.
Again, it's called Pickett's Charge, a novel by Charles McNair. Charles, thank you for the time and sharing the story and the insight with us this morning. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much. I'm great.